It's Friday, August 12th. That's The Conversation. First, this news. Yeah, there's a lot of neck, sort of rubbernecking in here, doing that, enjoying that a little bit going into this Friday. Hope you enjoy that, too, and that you've got a good weekend in store. Good morning. I'm Beth Ann Kozlovich, and this is The Conversation. To my right, as always, Mr. Bluesman himself,
my favorite guy, at least.
Good morning, Chris Vandercook.
You know, since the e-cigarette phenomenon came along, it sort of outpaced the ability of law to regulate it. Now it's sort of caught up. Is that the way it seems?
Well, in one perspective, yes. From one perspective, maybe not from those who are involved with e-cigs. Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk about that as our first conversation this morning. Now, this week, rules to regulate e-cigarettes and vaping products went into effect. And for the retailers who sell those products, it could mean fewer vape shops in future. The Food and Drug Administration will now have to approve all e-cigarette and vaping products on the market since 2007. That means that they're going to have to submit them to the FDA before they can be sold. The manufacturers will have 2 years to make that happen, so shelves will stay stocked in the interim. Buyers will also have to show ID to prove that they're over 18. Those are just a few of the rules that have vape shop owners concerned for their businesses. Corey Smith is the co-owner of Volcano eCigs. We sat down to talk about what he and other vape business owners across the nation will do to push for change.
The first thing that needs to change in our minds is the predicate date. The rule and all of the regulations that go along with the rules puts our industry under much more scrutiny than tobacco cigarettes. The predicate date is the date at which the FDA looks at existing tobacco products and says, well, anything after this date is grandfathered in.
That's 2007.
Correct. So right now, there's no added extra scrutiny for tobacco cigarettes that were on the market. The problem with the way these regulations have been put forth is there were no electronic cigarettes or vapor products that were really on the market before the predicate date. And so at this time, basically any product that was introduced in our specific product category is more or less going to be effectively banned or removed from the market.
Which would put a big crimp in your business.
Correct.
At this point, because the FDA is saying that they're trying to prevent death and disease and they're concerned about all of the chemicals that go into the vape smoke and the fact that you have people exposed to it in a secondhand way, in a similar way that people are exposed to cigarette smoke in a secondhand way. Is there any point at which you would agree with them that that is a concern?
I think it's a concern. I mean, I think there needs to be some level-headedness. I mean, if you take a look at the vast majority of science that is out there, in fact, the Royal College of Physicians out of the UK came out and stated that their research shows that electronic cigarettes are about 95% less toxic than tobacco cigarettes. So here the FDA has put together this package of regulations that is going to overtly scrutinize the product, remove access to the market, remove products that, you know, have been shown to be less toxic than traditional cigarettes, and yet leave all of these products, such as tobacco cigarettes, which are known to kill 400,000 people a year, let's leave those products on the market. You know, to me, that doesn't make a whole lot of sense in terms of public health.
Obviously, you have your business and your concerns at heart with all of this. And you feel that you're being really put upon by the FDA to have to comply with something that you don't see as being dangerous. They do. We saw that kind of thing play out years and years ago, decades ago, where you had cigarette manufacturers and the government at odds with each other for quite a while. Then there was a master tobacco settlement there. Then there's been a lot of activity directed toward education and removal of cigarettes from, you know, the easy reach of kids. Lots of things have happened in there. as you look at your industry now, the vape industry, the fact that you've got flavors and it's, you know, somewhat colorfully packaged, got sort of a cool factor that has been developed around it, how do you reconcile all those things with the fact that we don't really, you know, want people to smoke because it's costly and because it's not good for health?
I think there's got to be some common sense. We're all for common sense regulations. I mean, to sit here and say that we don't want any type of regulations, that we don't want any type of quality controls, that we don't want to have the best possible product on the market and remove products that shouldn't be there. We're not going to sit here and say that we want the wild, wild west, but there needs to be some level-headed clearness that needs to go along with the regulations that, you know, do get put upon our industry.
So what does that look like to you?
To me, it's all about quality control, so making sure that products are being manufactured to a specific quality assurance level, making sure that there aren't specific ingredients within e-liquids, or making sure that, you know, they're within specific tolerances, making sure that there's child-proof packaging, making sure that the industry is following specific guidelines in terms of the marketing the specific products. But again, I will come back to, you know, I'm of the belief that people need access to as many products that help them get off of cigarettes. I think removing access to products that help people transition away from tobacco is actually going to have the reverse effect. If you take away access to products that people use to get off of tobacco addiction, they're going to most likely fall back into tobacco addiction. So,
but what about the fact that there's nicotine in the, you know, the e-liquids, and those are the things that people are addicted to?
Well, this is the main difference between our product and pretty much any other product that you can find on the market. You can't smoke a zero nicotine cigarette. It doesn't exist. But you can vape e-liquid that has zero nicotine in it. And it does give the user the ability to control the amount of nicotine that they're ingesting. I can ingest a 16 milligram e-liquid. I could ingest a 8 milligram e-liquid. I could choose to ingest a 0 milligram e-liquid. There are no other types of products on the market currently that gives the ability to users for them to control that. And that's one of the big differences between our product and traditional tobacco products.
There's also been a lot of the conversation that, in fact, the e-liquid and vaping ability of someone to use it in transition doesn't, in fact, make a transition. It just simply transitions them to another addiction. How do you answer that?
I can't sit here and say that my product helps people quit smoking. The FDA specifically says that I'm not allowed to say that. But I think anecdotally, if you go online and you search, you'll find story after story after story of people who have used the products to do that. I personally know several people in my own family have used my product to get off of tobacco and to quit vaping altogether. I mean, our business hasn't grown in the last 3 years. It's actually shrunk. And we attribute a lot of that to the fact that our people have used our products to quit smoking and to quit vaping altogether. You know, so I can't legally go out and market my product and say, hey, use this product to quit smoking. But anecdotally, I can tell you that you know, I personally have received hundreds of phone calls, thousands of emails of people who have thanked me for that. And you know, it's a shame that I'm not allowed to say that because that's the FDA's stance on it. But I think it boils down to, you know, the money. That's what it really always boils down to, is the money. When you look at the regulations and what they're doing, they're really protecting the tobacco market and they're protecting the pharmaceutical markets. We're the first innovation in terms of smoking ever. And we've created a big threat to large moneyed organizations such as Big Pharma and Big Tobacco. And I think there's a lot of misinformation and there's a lot of lying going on trying to paint our specific industry under a certain light. And I think if you do enough digging and you take a look underneath the hood, there's a lot of other great stories that exist there.
You just mentioned a couple things, though, about money. Mm-hmm. And also that your business has been decreasing in the last few years, according to you, because some of these products have been very successful for people in getting them off of tobacco and vaping altogether, which seems as if that might not be such a great business proposition for you. Mm-hmm. And so if you look at the next 5 years of all this, as people are made to comply with what the FDA has set down now. Do you really feel that this is going to be a viable industry for you, or a viable way of being able to market this product?
I think, you know, throughout history, people have always smoked. I mean, people have been smoking tobacco for thousands of years. You know, personally, I know people who don't necessarily want to quit smoking, but they understand the health consequences and what it's doing to their body over time. And I think that, you know, there's a large segment of people who have switched to vaping, and, you know, some people switch and say, hey, well, I'm going to try and use this as a method or a means for me to try to quit smoking and vaping altogether. And some people just say, hey, I would like to switch to this and continue vaping, because vaping does provide a much different experience rather than smoking traditional tobacco cigarettes. So I think, I mean, until we as a society can say, hey, we no longer accept smoking and everybody's going to quit smoking, period, I think there will always be an industry for vaping, unless, of course, we're stamped out by, you know, the powers that be. I think there will always be, you know, a specific set of people who will gravitate towards that.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Corey Smith co-founded Volcano eCigs in 2009. It started as an e-commerce business before the first ever brick-and-mortar vape shop opened in Kailua. It's now one of 12 Volcano shops in Hawaii, though that could change with the new FDA rules to regulate e-cigarettes and vape products.